This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you're here with us today. We are continuing our series on prayer on the Best Day Ever podcast, and I'm very excited about the guest that we have with us today, Miss Sarah Fraser. And Sarah, before I even start, did I just say your last name right, or did I say it wrong?
No, you said it perfect. You said it perfect. Okay.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. And welcome, Sarah. We're so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Sarah is a writer and Bible study mentor at sarahfraser.com, and that link will be in the show notes if you want to check that out. Sarah is the wife of Jason and mother of five. She and her family serve as full-time missionaries in Honduras, and so right now, Sarah is joining us from Honduras. Her passion is to encourage women to start today with a Bible reading and prayer habit. Sarah is the author of several self-published Bible study resources for women, and she shares tools and encouragement for Bible study and prayer study at sarahfraser.com. No, sarahefraser.com. I was getting that wrong. sarahefraser.com. And again, that link is going to be in the show notes where you can visit Sarah and get to know her more. And I am really excited about what Sarah is going to share with us today on prayer. Sarah, I know you have a lot of resources on prayer. If our listeners go to your website, they'll find a lot of really great resources, some free resources as well. And one of the things, as I was kind of just spending some time on your website, is that I found that you have a course about growing your prayer life. And tell me a little bit about how that even came about, because I know that there were just some personal experiences that really led to this course on growing your prayer life.
Yes. So a couple of things kind of went into this course. And the first thing was several years ago, my husband and I began the process of adopting from China. We actually have two children we've adopted from China, but during that first adoption process, the Lord so happened to lead our pastor into preaching a very long series on prayer, and each week he would encourage the congregation to pray specifically for something that they could see, you know, that they wanted in their life, And he gave an example of praying for an air conditioning unit several years ago, and he ended up with four over the course of a weekend, you know, like one of those window air conditioning units. You know, mm-hmm. he needed one, and he ended up with four. So he was giving us examples of, you know, praying specifically. So my husband and I were in the process of adopting, and so we began to pray for specific steps in the process, and that was as specific as, please, Lord, help this paperwork be submitted, you know, in a timely manner, or help us to get a referral, match with a child sooner than what they had predicted for us. And we just saw him work in amazing ways. And it opened my eyes to not that we have the ability to manipulate God through prayer or circumstances, but that we have an invitation to enter in to this relationship with God and see, sort of like pull back the curtain and say, wow, he was working in that because I prayed for this and this happened. Mm-hmm. And one of the specific things that we prayed for, we were told we would wait 6 months to be matched with a child, and we ended up waiting 6 weeks.
Wow.
And it was, and we just attribute that to the Lord. And it just opened my eyes to the power of prayer and just that power to develop a deeper relationship with God. So I asked my readers, I was going to, you know, create a course on prayer. And I said, where do you need help with prayer? And so many people email me back. It was like 70% of the people that email me back said, I don't even know where to start.
Mm.
I don't even know what the words to say. I don't know how to focus. I don't even know where to start. And I thought, okay, all right, Lord, you've prepared me to teach this course. And so, you know, after going through that season of prayer with my husband and listening to that teaching on Sundays, I just felt like I needed to create a course that would help women know that no matter where they were in their spiritual life, that they can develop a prayer habit.
So Sarah, you just mentioned two things, and I'd love for you to speak to those for a minute. The two things I heard was, where do I even start and how can I stay focused? And I do think that those are typical questions. I know I've talked about focus in prayer because it can feel like we wander, our minds wander, and then it's like, wait, I was praying. What's hold on. And so I would love for you to speak to a minute for a minute about those two things. So let's start with, I mean, where do we start? What is the starting line to begin praying and then even growing in our prayer life?
I think the starting point is just very simple. We just start. I know that's very cliche, but I think that a lot of times we're intimidated because the prayers that we hear are very eloquent and heartfelt at church, and we just feel like we're so inadequate to be able to talk to God. And I think that the enemy likes to discourage us with our past or mistakes or guilt or shame. And so one of the things that I've done, and this is just a practical step, is I have started reading through the Psalms as a blueprint for how to pray.
Yes.
And many of the Psalms are actual prayers to God. And so not all of them, but a lot of them are prayers to God. And I mean, I would just encourage you to start in Psalm 1 and just read through the Psalms and kind of unpack how the psalmists, the various people that wrote the Psalms, how they prayed to God. And then I would also encourage you to treat it like sort of a conversation with God, and think back to the old timey days when we used to write letters and we would mail them. I know, hand write the letters. One of the things that I started, and this goes into the focus, but it can also help us get started, is if we start writing out our prayers, and they can be very simple, and Lord, help me. Treat it like a friend, like I'm writing a letter to a friend, and what would I say to that friend if I'm trying to share my struggles with them? Mm-hmm. And so I think we can start out with that. I think we can start out with just knowing that we're talking to God just like a friend and writing a letter to him. And that goes into focusing. And I am like you when it comes to focus. I am so distracted. And I was thinking about distractions. I was thinking there's two types of distractions. There's ones that we can control, and there are distractions that we can't control. And so I thought about the ones that I can control, and those include the majority is the screens, like the phones and computers and tablets, all of those things. I can put them away and say I'm dedicating the next 10 to 15 minutes or however long, half an hour, this is my time with God. And, you know, putting away the distractions, but there are other distractions we can't control. And I have five children, and those are distractions I can't control. And so, you know, they're going to be in my life and they're going to be there, and I can't always predict what they're going to do or what they, you know, if they'll distract me or not. However, one of the more practical things that I've started doing is really just, like I said, writing out my prayers. And it really does help me focus because I'm, you know, forming thoughts with my hand and they're going from my brain to my hand to my paper. And then another practical thing that I do is I have, I use an acronym. Sort of like a method for praying. And if you Google search prayer acronyms or methods of prayer, you're going to find, you know, 100 different ways that you can pray. But one that I just keep going back to is one that I don't even know the origin of it, but I know a lot of us know it, is the ACTS method, mm-hmm. where we pray adoration. So it spells ACTS, mm-hmm. and it's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so in my course, actually, I talk about this method of prayer and how we can use this to help us focus. And even if those other distractions we can't control kind of seep in every once in a while, we know where we left off and we say, okay, I'm on supplication now, or I'm on confession, or whatever it is. And so those two things, writing it out and having sort of like a method, mm-hmm. has really helped me.
And Sarah, say a little more about supplication. That's not a word that we use necessarily in our everyday language. So what happens in supplication? I think adoration, confession, thanksgiving, those are things we're a little more familiar with. But what is that supplication word for somebody who's not super familiar with what that might mean?
Yes. So that word is sort of a word that the theologians or scholars use to describe prayer when we're praying for the needs of others or the needs of ourselves. And so it's almost like we're asking God to kind of intervene, and we're praying for the health, the spiritual growth, praying for him to give us strength or peace. It's when we're praying for ourselves or for others. I think that intercession is another word that you might hear. Mm-hmm. So supplication is usually focused on ourselves. So if we're praying for ourselves and asking the Lord to forgive us of our sins, or to change our heart, or to help us in a situation. And then there's another word, intercession, and it comes from intercede. So we speak on behalf of someone else. And I think that is the more idea of praying for some other people. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I fit into their acronym. So they just use supplication. Right. So I say that supplication, that's when I personally pray for myself and for others. So.
Gotcha. And you know, I really do like that acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. Uh-huh. For one, adoration, you know, you can go back to what you were saying about where do we begin. And you had given the really practical suggestion of reading the Psalms. And a lot of the Psalms fit into the adoration line on this acronym, because you could just read a psalm of praise, and there's just so many of them, and that can be that beginning of adoration. And what I love about the acronym is that there's a bit of a natural flow there, because, and Sarah, I'm sure that this is probably a reason why you love it so much too, is because when we begin with adoration, when we start with praising the Lord and our eyes are fixed on him and who he is and his glory and his power and just all of those attributes of God that we begin as we adore, the natural progression is that we are then very aware of our position. When we see, you know, one of the things that I've said is when we see God as he truly is, we see ourselves as we truly are. And so that adoration will naturally progress to confession. Like it's almost a natural bowing of the head when we begin to place God in his rightful position and adore him in that place. And so then that confession happens as we see God as he truly is, and we see ourselves as we truly are. And then what's so amazing is as we see God, how, you know, for who he truly is, we see ourselves for who we truly are, then the natural progression of that is just to overflow with thanksgiving for what he has done for us. It's like, you've got to be kidding me that I have the right and the privilege to boldly approach your throne of grace right now, knowing who you are, knowing who I am. And then, so it's such a beautiful progression of adoration to confession to thanksgiving, and then flowing through to that privilege of bringing our requests to Him. He tells us in His word to bring our requests to Him and to pray continually and to pray without ceasing. Like, we have the invitation, which is something, I think, a word that you mentioned before too, Sarah. And so that is a helpful progression, I think, as well. If you are just looking for that starting place, I love that acronym as well. And you know, Sarah, you talked about focus and the distractions that you can and cannot control. I love what you said about that. And one of the things that helps me at times, and I know it's not always possible, is to pray out loud. Like, if I'm not writing it, to speak out loud what I'm saying, because it does help keep me on track. And it doesn't have to necessarily be like even the level of volume that I'm speaking right now. I may even speak it lower, to where if I have people around me, if I'm at home and there's kids around or something like that, they may be able to hear that I'm speaking, but not necessarily hear specifically all of the words that I'm saying. And in those situations, for the mom at home with your kids trying to figure out how in the world you're ever going to pray, you know, I found that having kids around isn't a reason not to pray. And if you pray, even with them around, even with them coming in and out, asking for something, you are actually showing them that you are showing them prayer. You are showing them that prayer is a part of everyday life, and that even when life is happening, you can pray. And so you're giving them a really amazing example of prayer that can you can build into their life just by showing them. And so whenever I'm praying out loud, even if it's not necessarily something that they can always hear the words, but they know that I'm praying, it can help, because I definitely have had times where they've come in, my kiddos have come in to ask me something that isn't necessarily urgent, and they see me praying, or they may hear, and then I'll hear them walk out and tell a sibling, "She's praying." You know, they're essentially saying, "Hang on, we'll have to wait a minute." And so, so that would just be another, you know, something that I've experienced that might help with focus. But I just appreciate your practical thoughts on this, Sarah. And you know, another question that I found as I was, you know, just spending some time on your website is what is the best way to stay consistent? Because I feel like that's also something that can be a struggle. Is that maybe we start praying and we find a way to stay focused, but we do it for 2 days, and then it's something that's difficult to maintain. So have there been any ways that you have found in your life that help you stay consistent in prayer?
Yes, I think there's been a couple things. The first is having a consistent Bible quiet time. And that has for some reason, that has flowed a little bit more naturally into my developing a habit, or having, you know, a habit of Bible reading. But pairing the two together and knowing that if I'm going to read my Bible, I'm also going to pray, and having those things come together. Another really practical thing that I have started to be consistent in prayer is treat each day like this is the first day of a new habit, and waking up and saying, okay, this day I need to pray, and not thinking, well, it's been 5 days, I haven't prayed, or I've prayed for 2 days, and you know, and just thinking each day, making prayer a priority. Another thing that I've learned over the years is to kind of put your blinders on, in the sense that I can't compare myself to other people, or my perception of how I think, you know, well, that person has just such a vibrant prayer life. I have to focus and stay in my lane and say, Lord, you've given me these children. You've given me this time. You've given me this season. And I'm going to, you know, offer this back up to you. And practically speaking, I don't know, this is something that's just developed, honestly, in the past month, is each morning I wake up and I really have to resist that urge to grab my phone, and scroll. And so instead of, so I kind of purposed in my heart that for a week I was going to leave my phone on the charger. And as I woke up, and I'm not one of those people who can just hop out of bed.
Me I have to like, girl.
I have to sit there for a minute and like kind of wake up a little bit.
Oh yes.
So I'd sit up and I would spend 10 to 15 minutes praying. And I just, and like you, sometimes I would pray out loud. Mm-hmm. And I just sat in my bed and it was like, good morning, Lord. Mm-hmm. This is what we have today and every day, you know, and I pray for patience and wisdom. And the Lord is probably tired of hearing me praying for patience and wisdom, but I need him every day. And so I sit there and I pray about our day. I pray about the things that are on my heart and I kind of just not unload on God, but I just kind of carry my burdens and cast them on him at the beginning of the day, before even stepping out of bed or looking at my phone or engaging with anyone. And, you know, I like to sit with my coffee and read my Bible and write notes and stuff like that. But I found that it takes me a while to get there, but I can get up in the morning and just sit up in bed and pray right away. And that has been, I've been doing it for a month now and it's become a habit now. And it's just helped me be consistent in prayer. Another thing that I do is I pray throughout my day. Yes, mm-hmm. there are times I sit and I pray or I write out my prayers, but I don't do that every day. I don't often have times to do it every day. I probably do it 2-3 times a week. On the other days, I'm praying while I'm making my bed. I pray a lot while I'm folding laundry. I fold a lot of laundry. Mm-hmm. you know, while I'm making breakfast or lunch, I've tried to kind of, you know, anytime that I'm doing a task that doesn't require a lot of mental effort mm-hmm. on my part, I think this is an opportunity for me to pray about this person or this need or just to give God praise or, you know, any of those, you know, four things that we talked about, you can sit and you don't have to pray for all four every time. You know, you mm-hmm. can just give him praise mm-hmm. and that's, you know, prayer time. But those are some practical things that I found have helped me personally. So,
and, you know, I want to remind our listeners, like you have, I don't know if I said this, that you homeschool, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we live on the mission field, and so there really isn't an option for schooling that is sufficient, and so we homeschool, yes.
And so it's not like you just have all this time laying around, you know, that no. you have things you have full days of activities and responsibilities. And so I think sometimes if you're like me, you always kind of think, well, when the next season of life rolls around, then I'll have time. You know, whether yes. it's when I'm an empty nester or whether it's, you know, when I hit a certain retirement age, I don't know what, you know, what it is, or maybe just when the kids get to high school or when they start driving or whatever. And I will tell you that what I have heard, because I've talked to women in stages behind me, they haven't quite arrived at the stage where I am right now. And then also the ones who are ahead of me. And what I'm finding is that there is not a season of life where everything just kind of falls into place and you have all the time that you've always dreamed you might have. And I don't want to say that like it's discouraging, But the point is, what we don't want to do is wait for a time where it's somehow going to be simpler, more convenient, easier, whatever word you want to put there. And so what I love about what we're hearing from you, Sarah, is that you are in a very busy season of life where the responsibilities and activities of every single day are full, and it's day after day after day, and yet prayer is a priority, and it is something, I love the word you used, opportunity. You look for opportunities every day to pray throughout the day. And so I'm encouraged to hear how, I love, you know, how you said, I don't sit down every single day and write out prayers and do all that. So just for the listener, I bet there's something that Sarah has said that you can take and apply in your life. But it doesn't have to be everything. And so, Sarah, I didn't know if you wanted to just speak to that for a minute about how, you know, we don't have to wait for it all to kind of fit together perfectly, but we can still make prayer a priority.
Yes, I think that I've had those same thoughts about waiting till my children were older. I remember thinking, when they all can get dressed by themselves in the morning. But, you know, I mean, I just remember thinking, and I'm at the point now, my youngest is 6, and he's very independent. And so he's been dressing himself for several years now. But it's one of those things where, you know, I'm still busy. They all can dress themselves, but they still need, you know, and I thought, well, okay, when they all can fix breakfast for themselves in the morning, well, they're all kind of, you know, they have older ones now and they can fix their breakfast. And I'm thinking, if I keep saying that, I'll never, and like you said, we'll never get to that point where we have an unlimited amount of time. Mm-hmm. I think that this, and two, I recognize my own need for prayer,
yes,
and quiet time. And I thought, if I'm in this busy, this is when I need it the most,
mm-hmm.
is when I have all of these pressing needs and I am being, you know, I'm being sucked dry every day by my children and my husband in a great way. I'm being poured out, as Paul says, in the sacrifice, you know, of service. And I love it. And it's an honor and it's a privilege, and I wouldn't have it any other way, but I need to be filling myself up again.
Yes.
And so, and it's not about self-care, it's about the shepherd care, mm-hmm. and how he needs to care for me. And that is where I find him, in prayer and the word. And so I realized that I've got to be able to fit it into my life somehow. And it's become now where the kids expect me to read my Bible at some point in the morning. And a lot of times I like to get up early before they wake up and read, but that doesn't always happen. And sometimes we have late nights and I mm-hmm. sleep in till they get up. And so they just know that mommy, and they, like you said earlier in our talk, they see me read my Bible and they see me pray. And I don't, you know, often, I don't often go to my room and just read my Bible. I sit and I do it at the dining room table. And so they can still come to me, you know, if there's an emergency. But a lot of times, you know, they see me reading and praying and they know, you know, they can wait. But I think that it's become such a lifeline for me. That mm-hmm. it's almost, if I don't read or pray during the day, there is something missing about my day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't arrive at this point overnight. It's taken years. When I shared about adopting our daughter, that was almost 7 years ago. And so, you know, it's taken me years. I mean, I saw the value of prayer, you know, 7 years ago, but it's taken me years to develop that habit. But it's just waking up each day, like I said, and saying, I'm going to do it today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it today.
Sarah, this has just been so encouraging, and thank you so much for the practical things that you've shared and for the encouragement that we can start today, no matter where we are. We can start today, and I can assure you that when you start to prioritize prayer, you will start to live every day as your best day ever. Thanks for being here.